Welcome to Calvary Chapel. We just want to say Happy Mother's Day to all you moms out there. We are so grateful for you and so thankful for you. You mean so much to us. And though we can't be together physically, we want you to know we've been praying for you and we've been lifting you up. And before we get started in today's Bible study, I would like to pray for all of you moms. So if we could just take a moment and ask God to bless our time in His Word, but also ask Him to bless the moms. Usually when we're meeting together at church on Mother's Day, we usually ask the moms to stand up so that we can pray for them and lay hands upon them. But in this way, we just want to take time and take a moment and lift up a prayer. So would you pray with me for all you moms? Father God, we thank you for Mother's Day. We thank you for moms. We thank you for their heart, God. We know that you have instilled in them an extra dose of love and of care for their children and other people. We thank you for their hearts. And I pray, God, for all the moms right now. I lift them up to you and I pray blessings upon them. Though we might not be able to join together at church and hug these moms, Lord, our hearts go out to them. And we just pray blessings upon them. We pray that you would provide for them, the new moms, Lord, that you would strengthen them in the season that they're in. For those that have grown children, Lord, we just pray that they have fond memories of their children and of their family. I pray, God, that, again, you would just open up the windows of heaven, pour out a blessing upon the moms today, that they would feel celebrated today, that they would be encouraged as they spend time with family, or if they get on the phone and speak to family and speak to their children, that they would just feel that love. Lord, how grateful we are for the moms in our lives that have molded us and shaped us. I pray that you would just do an amazing work in them and that they would be blessed. And as we look to your word, we pray that you would speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you all, you moms. This morning's message is one that I've entitled Character That Gets Noticed. Character That Gets Noticed. We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 31. And I've shared this area of text before on Mother's Day, and it's just so perfect because it paints a picture of what women in the Lord, what godly women should be. And I'm grateful that our country has set aside a day to celebrate moms. And so we're celebrating you. President Wilson said in May 9th, 1914, the very first Mother's Day, he said this: "This day has been set aside as a time for public expression of our love and reverence for the mothers of our country." And I am just, again, so thankful that we live in a country that celebrates moms like this, that we set aside a day, and we certainly do it for fathers. But moms, you do so much. You work so hard. More telephone calls are made on Mother's Day than any other time of the year. And so right in the beginning, I want to remind you, today's a day and an opportunity for you to pick up the phone and talk to your mom. You know, my mom is no longer with me. Both my wife and I have lost our mothers. And so we can't pick up the phone and say Happy Mother's Day. We can't pick up the phone and talk to them and share with them and just thank them for all that they've done for us. But if your mom is still alive, I encourage you, pick up the phone today or have a conversation with her if you can get together with her and let her know how much you appreciate what she's done and how much you appreciate the things that she has instilled in your life. It's so, so very important. Mother's Day is a very special day, a day where we remember our mothers with gifts and with cards and with presents. And I want to read a couple things that I found this week, some cards, some things that children had written in cards to their mothers. The first one is 8-year-old Angie, and she writes this: "Dear Mom, I'm going to make dinner for you on Mother's Day. It's going to be a surprise. P.S. I hope you like pizza and popcorn." Eileen said this: "Dear Mom, I wish Mother's Day wasn't always on Sunday. It would be better if it were on Monday so that we wouldn't have to go to school." And the last one is from Diane. She writes, "I hope you like the flowers I got you for Mother's Day. I picked them myself when Mrs. Smith wasn't looking." You know, it doesn't matter what's written in the card. It doesn't matter what the card looks like. What moms probably appreciate most is that their children thought of them, that their children thought enough about them to put something together, to write something down. And that's what we learn. Moms don't care as long as we give them time, as long as we reach out to them. And I think about the times with my mother. And man, I wish I had more of those opportunities. I wish I had more time with my mom. There's never enough time. And we seem to be so busy and so pulled in so many different directions. But this day is set aside so that we can spend time with our mothers. And so I encourage you to do that very thing. Mother's Day is made to honor every mom, every single mom. We are the people that we are today because of the moms that are in our that were in our lives. And I can think about my other mothers, not only my mom, but my best friend's moms. They always cared for me. They always loved on me. They always encouraged me. And man, did I take that for granted. And we can't do that. We have to remember the women in our lives that nurture us and are those second moms to us as they teach us and instruct us in the ways that we should live our lives. And certainly godly mothers are important. Anna Jarvis, who was the daughter of Ann Jarvis, who's the one that actually instituted and requested that a special day be set aside for mothers. Anna, her daughter, said this: "A mother is the person who has done more for you than anyone in the world." And how true that really is. How true that is. Mothers are always the ones that spend usually the most time with their children. When I was growing up, my mom was always there. My brother and I, we grew up, my mom was a stay-at-home mom. And what a blessing that is. I know not everyone can do that. Not all moms can be there for their kids 24/7. But I was grateful for a mother who was there as I grew up and was involved in my life. See, I'm thankful that my mom helped me be the person that I am. I get my tenderness, I get my patience from my mother. She taught me that over the years. And other mothers did the very same thing. You know, I remember a time when I was felt called into the ministry. I had the opportunity to officiate a funeral for someone I didn't even know. But it was an opportunity to serve. It was an opportunity to get in front of people and share from God's word. And this woman was a godly woman, and I did not know her. And I met with the family and talked with the family, trying to get an idea of how this woman was and who this woman was. And by God's grace, God gave me the opportunity to kind of invite people up during the funeral to share about this woman's life. And time again, I was so impressed that the people that came up would be those people that said, "This woman was like a mother to me. She took me in. She fed me when I was hungry. She clothed me when I didn't have any clothes." I mean, she was so mindful of the people in her community and that she had a heart to help. And one after another, people came up and said how much this woman instilled godly principles in their lives. And man, I got a picture of how impactful this woman's life was. Man, that's what it's all about. Being someone that impacts someone else's life. And moms, you do that. You do that regularly. You probably do that when you're not even realizing you're doing it. And so thank you. Thank you for the long days, the long hours, the extra effort, all the responsibilities that moms have. And yet you continue to stay faithful. I never remember my mom ever complaining, ever fighting with my father about her responsibility as a mom. She loved being a mom. She loved her boys. And it's just an amazing picture, and an amazing picture of, again, the heart of God. Because I can believe God's heart is displayed through moms. Whether they know the Lord or not, it shows us the heart of God. And ladies, whether you're a mother or not, God has a special job for you to do. For you to impact other people. For you to be pouring out into other people's life. To make an impact on us. So don't take that for granted. Take that responsibility and run with it. I know many women in our church that have such a heart for other people. They will serve them without complaining. They'll serve them gladly and from that heart of love. And what a beautiful picture that is. See, we read a lot about men being men of character. And God knows we need men to step up and have godly character. But what's not talked about so much is women having godly character. Women need to have godly character just as much as men. We all do, as believers, need to display the character of God. And that's why I've entitled today's message, Character That Gets Noticed. Our character, our godly character, should get noticed by people around us. Christians are supposed to be different in this world. Believers in Jesus Christ are supposed to be the ones that are leading the impact in our community, in our homes, in our schools, making a difference. So with that mindset of godly character, a woman with godly character, we look to Proverbs chapter 31 once again to see an example of what a woman with godly character looks like. And we'll talk about it a little bit more in a moment, but we don't read this text and think, why is that person so perfect? I could never live up to that. Listen, this is God's word speaking to all of us on the characteristics and the qualities of people who live with godly character. We can all learn from this. Yes, it's Mother's Day, and this message is for mothers, but it's for all of us to think about our character and how it's impacting other people. Abraham Lincoln said this, "No one is poor who had a godly mother." And boy, isn't that true? No one is poor that has a godly mother. I wouldn't say my household was one that grew up with God there. But my dad and my mom certainly displayed godly characteristics. They were good people. They were nice people. They didn't deal with anger. They didn't deal with, you know, frustration. I mean, they were just good parents. I'll say it. My upbringing was good. The only thing that was missing was the Lord. But my mom loved God. At the end of her life, she gave her life to the Lord back in 1995. And before she passed away in 2014, she loved the Lord. 2009, excuse me. She just loved the Lord. She loved God. And I could see that in her. Man, did that bring a blessing into my heart, knowing my mother knew the Lord. Abraham Lincoln went on to say, I remember my mother's prayers, and they have followed me. They have clung to me all my life. All that I am and hope to be, I owe to my godly mother. Boy, I am thankful for the women in my life, the godly women in my life that have been there to help me and assist me and make me the man that I am today. I thank the Lord for giving me the Holy Spirit, but I also thank God for the men and women he has put into my life, just like Abraham Lincoln. Are you thankful for the people that God has put into your life? Oh, it's easy to look at the negatives. It's easy to look at the people that rub you wrong. But where in all of those people do you see people that are making a difference in your life? Again, character that gets noticed. There's people in your life that their character is in such a way that you can take note of it and you take notice of it. Let's see in Proverbs chapter 31 the characteristics of this woman that we can all learn from. Read with me, if you will. Proverbs 31, starting in verse 25. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. I want to look at three things real quickly. as we see and read about this particular woman. Number one, it starts off in verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing. Again, speaking about character that gets noticed, the first thing I see is personal influence. This woman had a personal, she was personally influencing other people. Notice it says, strength and honor are her clothing. Strength and honor are her clothing. Those are the things that she put on. In other words, her appearance was that of strength and of honor. If there's one thing we can do, especially in these days in the world that we're living in, is to show the strength that we have and the confidence that we have in God. This woman wasn't someone who worked out a lot and was strong. No, she had strong character. She had a strong personality. And there are women that have strong personalities and strong character. And I thank God for them. Because those are the ones that are leading. Those are the ones that are speaking into people's lives. Those are the ones that are showing God to other people. That's what this woman, I see, this woman, her personal influence was that you could tell she was godly. She was a strong person. And there's nothing wrong with being a strong woman. As long as you're submitted up under what God has designed you and made you to be. If you're fulfilling God's purpose in your life, God may have knit you together to be a strong woman. And that's what the characteristics of this woman. She had a personal influence on others. Moms need strength in order to do their job. Amen? They need strength. I think of new moms, you know, with a new baby in the household, you know, and how throughout the night having to get up and feed that child and care for that child. How many new moms have I talked to who haven't gotten any sleep over the last weeks because they're caring for their children? So mothers need strength. They need strength to do and fulfill their job as a mother. That strength comes from God. That strength isn't something that you muster up in your own. No, it's something that you ask God for. God, give me the strength to get up and to do what you've called me to do as a mother or as a Christian. Personal influence is so important, especially in the days that we're living in, and especially with this pandemic. That we need to be those believers that are confident in God, that he's going to get us through and he's going to protect us. So strength is an important thing. But also, strength and honor are her clothing. Honor means good reputation, respect, integrity. God instructs us all to honor our fathers and mothers. That's what God has called us to do. He's told us to do that. Ephesians chapter 6 says this, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. I love that, that God says, listen, honor your father and mother because it's the right thing to do. Not because they deserve it, not because they've earned it, not because anything else, but that it's a right thing to do, to honor our parents. I've said many times, my brother and I were polar opposites when it came to listening to our parents. I was one, my mom and dad said, stop, I stopped. My mom and dad said, go do that, I would go do that. My brother, not so much. My mom would say, go clean your room, and he would complain, and he would negotiate, and he would argue. Or she told him to stop doing something, and that was a challenge for him to keep doing it to see how much trouble he could get in. There's something about honoring your father and mother because it's the right thing to do. And if we do that, the Bible tells us that it may be well with us. We don't honor our parents because, again, they deserve it. We don't honor them because they need it. No, we honor them because it's good for us. That's what we must do. We must honor. And this woman in Proverbs 31 is one that was honored by her family and probably honored by her friends and honored by her community. She, again, had an amazing character. Are your children obeying and honoring you? Now, some of you might be thinking, no, my kids don't listen to me at all. They do what they want. And the specific reason I ask this question is, as parents, we're to be instructing our children in a godly way. See, I think too many parents try to instruct their kids from a worldly perspective. You know, telling your kids don't do things that annoy you, or stop playing with that, or stop touching that. Listen, let them be kids, certainly. But we as parents have a responsibility to teach our kids the ways of the Lord. So in order for you to be honored as a parent, you need to honor the Lord by leading your children in a godly way, instructing them in the ways of the Lord. Let them see you pray. Let them see you with your Bible. Let them see you, you know, crying out to God. Let them see you be real so that they can mimic that. We know kids mimic us. And we want our kids to mimic the good qualities, the godly qualities. And so the more we can instill in our children's lives, moms and dads, the more that we can instill in our children's lives our dependency upon God. And number one, it's going to be good for us, but it's also going to be a benefit to them. So it's one thing to have your child honor you and submit to you and obey you. But it certainly is a huge responsibility for us that we need to make sure we're doing it right, that we're leading them correctly. And that's by leading them in the Lord. Notice it says in the second half, she shall rejoice in time to come. Now, I don't think this verse is any more perfect than in the pandemic that we're experiencing right now. In other words, this verse is saying she shall rejoice in the time to come. She is not someone who worries about the future. She's not someone who is troubled by what may happen in the future. And listen, this pandemic has got us all kinds of thinking this and doing that, and do we wear masks, and do we socially distance ourselves? Do we go to a restaurant? Do we go to the gym when things start to open? I just was speaking with someone the other day, and it's like, we all have to be moved by our own convictions. If your workplace opens and you're allowed to go back in there and you're fearful from that, communicate that. I think they have to honor that because these are unprecedented times. But we cannot live in a atmosphere of worry. And so that's what this is saying. She shall rejoice in the time. She's not one who worries. Listen to me right now. Worry is a robber. Worry is a robber. It'll rob you of your time. It'll rob you of your peace. It'll rob you of your sanity. That's what worry does. I am not by nature one who worries. And it probably drives some people crazy, especially my wife. But the fact is, I don't know what it is in me. I believe it was given to me by God, but I'm not one that worries. When something happens, when a circumstance like this pandemic, I haven't been worried about it. I'm concerned. I think concern is okay, but the Bible says don't worry. Don't worry. Worry is a robber. Because if we're worrying, we're not trusting God. If we're worrying, we're not relying upon the Lord. And so worry doesn't have a place in the heart of a believer. Again, concern is one thing. Be concerned about your finances, but don't worry about them. Be concerned of catching this virus, but don't worry about it. Do what's right. Put your hope and your trust and confidence in God, trusting in Him. This woman rejoiced in the time to come. Whatever may come, she rejoiced in it. It's an opportunity. I see all of this as an opportunity for God to display His strength to us. And man, is He doing it. We're seeing amazing things happen during this time. The interactions that we're having. I've shared this before. I do devotions with a group of guys at 7:45 every morning over Zoom. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes there's four of us, sometimes there's 10 of us. And about every single one of those men on there says, I am so thankful for this devotion time. I am so thankful for this call. So we're seeing good things happen. Our Wednesday night Bible studies, more and more people are joining by Zoom and we're getting together, and it's just been a blessing. It's been a blessing just to be in other people's presence again. So we're learning these things. We don't worry. We trust the Lord. He's in control. And so personal influence, we want to make sure that we're showing other people that we're not worrying, that we're putting our faith and our trust in the one we believe in, the one who owns and dictates our lives. And that's God. How well you know God's character, we talked about this Wednesday night, how well you know God's character determines how much you are at peace in this crazy world. And I'm not just talking about coronavirus. I'm talking about crazy world, period. If we know the character of God, then we know he's seated on his throne. We know he's in control and he's going to get us through, because that's what the Bible tells us. He has good thoughts towards us. He has good plans for us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. That's the hope that we have as believers, and we can share that hope with others. So don't be a person that worries, but put your trust in God. And then the next thing, and then we're going to move a little bit more quickly. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. Again, personal influence. The things that she speaks are quality. They're with wisdom and with kindness. And the fact is, when we are going, if we're going to open our mouths, we better make sure that what we're going to say is something of value. One of my all-time favorite verses in the Bible is that even a fool is considered wise if he holds his tongue. If we're going to say something, let's make sure it has some substance to it. Make sure there's some wisdom to it from God. Don't just speak because you feel like it, or you're moved by it, or no, speak when you're moved by God. There's nothing more powerful than to speak the word of God. That is truth. That is truth. God gives wisdom to those who ask. In the book of James, first chapter, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Here's a woman. When she opens her mouth, it's with wisdom. And that wisdom has been given to her by God. If you need wisdom, if you're in the midst of a decision right now and you need wisdom, then you need to ask God to give you that wisdom. God tells us to do that. Ask and I will give it to you. If you lack it, and let me tell you, I lack wisdom. Maybe you lack wisdom too. What's the wisdom? What's the next step? What's the next phase as we move into opening up this country and getting back to the things we're used to doing before? Lord, give us wisdom. We don't want to just live haphazardly. We want to live under the wisdom of God. And the Holy Spirit has been given to us to encourage us, but also to hold us back. So Lord, give us wisdom when it comes to making these decisions. Lord, give us wisdom when it comes to spending money in these times. Lord, give us wisdom in what it means to instill truth into our children's lives. Help us, Lord, to pour into this next generation the wisdom of God. This woman had wisdom, and she spoke it. Think about this. This woman, again, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. So there was good things coming out of her. And I want to say this to all of us. And man, this really hit me square in the heart when I thought about it. You cannot give what you do not have. You can't speak wisdom unless you've been given that wisdom. And that wisdom comes again from God. You cannot give what you do not have. You can't give kindness if you don't have kindness. You can't give wisdom if you don't have wisdom. You can't give understanding unless God has given you understanding. It's our opportunity to ask. You may be saying, this woman is not even real. How many women have I known that said they just don't like the Proverbs 31 woman? She's too perfect. It's a standard no woman can live up to. And I agree. And can I say this to you? We serve a Savior who is perfect in every way. No flaw. Jesus is perfect. And as a husband, God tells me to love my wife as Christ loved the church. That's a perfect love. And I could say, well, that's impossible. I can't love my wife the way Christ loved the church and died for it. But that's not true. I can strive for that. I may never achieve perfection, but I can strive for it. And so I would encourage you ladies, you moms, and even us guys, to look at things that are written in the Bible as an opportunity to achieve those goals or to move closer to those goals. Don't look at this woman and say, I can't do that, and just give up. No, if there's something here that speaks to your heart, and that's a quality that you want in your life, begin to work on that. Maybe you just want some more strength. Ask God to give you strength. Maybe you want more wisdom. Ask God to give you more wisdom. It's a day-by-day relationship with God that teaches us to rely on Him, to hear His voice, to move in His ways. It just doesn't happen overnight. It's a process. So day by day, draw closer to God. The Bible says He'll draw closer to you. Moms, if you need strength, if you need wisdom, whatever it is you need, God has it. God has everything we have need of. And actually, the Bible says He's given us every spiritual blessing. We just have to tap into those blessings. We just have to be mindful of those blessings that God has given to us and exercise them in the days that we live. And this woman, yes, seems perfect, but she was still human. And if we were going to write down all the characteristics of your life, or if I was going to write down the characteristics of my life, I would certainly want to put all the good things down. Listen, God's not asking you to be perfect. He's asking you to move towards perfection. He's asking you to be a little bit better today than you were yesterday. Yes, the enemy wants you to remember all the mistakes you made. The enemy wants you to look at all the bad things that have happened in your life, the bad things that you've done, the mistakes that you've done, the way you spoke to your children, or the way you treated your husband or your wife. He wants you to dwell on that. But ask God for that forgiveness and make it right, step by step. Proverbs 31, mom remembers that Jesus' life appeared ordinary. I mean, Jesus is perfect, but He lived a life of simplicity. Yes, of power because He was God, but He also lived a life of simplicity. There's nothing wrong with living an ordinary life, that one that loves God and that seeks after His heart, because there's an opportunity for us to impact other people, to speak truth, to speak wisdom, and to be kind. That's the other thing. And on her tongue was the law of kindness. And one more time, I'm going to just share a little bit about my mom. My mom was one of the kindest people I've ever known. She loved everybody. She didn't have an enemy. And when we were growing up as kids, she would talk to total strangers. I can distinctly remember, I can almost see the wallpaper and the paneling in the dentist's office. It was so long ago. And my mom would sit in there in the waiting room with us, my brother and I, before our appointment, and she would ask questions with the other people that were in there. She would know what they did for a living. She would know all the children's names. I mean, she just loved people. And I think because of her, I love people. I have a heart for other people, and my mother showed me that. My mom lived that out. Guys, we have such an opportunity to be kind. People need kindness in this world. More often than not, we run into complaints and frustrations and anger and all this negative things. But what if we were kind? What if we said nice things to people? What if we did nice things for others? That's what God wants us to do. To have that personal influence on others is to be kind to them. Be kind to someone today. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a stranger. Maybe it's the, you know, Uber Eats driver that drops off your food. Be nice. Say hello. Ask how they're doing. Kindness is free. Being kind to someone doesn't cost you anything. And man, is it a blessing for them. But not only a personal influence, notice the family influence. Verse 27 says, she watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. He says, many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. To me, this is a family influence. So she was an influence to her community. She would speak wisdom. She would speak kindness. But she also instilled truth and influence in her family. Her kids rise up and call her blessed. I just love that. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also. So again, your kids may not wake up every day and say, Mom, you're such a blessing. They may not say that. But I can tell you right now, I've been on this earth almost 55 years. And I look back on my mom, and I can say this now. She was blessed. She lived a blessed life. She had a blessed marriage. She was a blessing as a mother. And man, was she a blessing of a friend. I mean, I'm sure if we asked all of our friends, they would tell us that we're blessings in their lives. But I know my mom's friends loved her so much and were so blessed by her because she brought so much joy into their lives. To be able to bless their kids. I mean, some of the memories I have of my mom bring such joy into my heart. Christmas times were always amazing. Mom made Christmas amazing. And I get my sweet tooth from my mother. You know, she used to have this saying, and I wasn't going to say this, but she used to have this saying, I would ask, Mom, I want some dessert. I want some cake or something. And she would look at me, and literally she would say, magic, magic. And then she would say, now go over to the oven, and there's a cake in there. And I would open the oven, and there would be a cake in there. And as a kid, I was like, wow, that's amazing. As I got older, I realized she always had a cake in the oven. She was always prepared. The woman loves sweets, and that's where I got my sweet tooth. But man, she made life fun. Moms have this innate ability to make life fun. Hey, listen, it wasn't always joy and fun. You know, it wasn't always that blissful as a kid. You're forced to clean your room. You're forced to do things you don't want to do. We all have that. But man, moms have an opportunity to make life fun. And I know in this, you know, stay-at-home thing we got going on with the pandemic, moms are having to be creative to keep their kids busy. But man, moms have an ability to do that. They use the simplest of things to bring such joy to their kids. What a blessing that is. What a blessing that is. Before my mom passed, she really enjoyed spending time with her boys. That was one thing that brought her the greatest amount of joy, was spending time with her kids. I can remember her distinctly saying, man, she just loved being around my brother. He would come over to her house every day and have coffee with her and just enjoy sitting and talking with her. I didn't live near my mom, so I didn't have that pleasure towards the end of her life. But that was something that she really enjoyed. I don't know, life's busy, and I know it can be hectic sometimes. But right now, what I'm seeing in some of the moms that I was blessed enough to go deliver flowers to this week for Mother's Day from the church, it's just their ability to spend time with their kids. Some that were too busy and life was too hectic before this pandemic happened. Now they're finding they're spending 24/7 with their kids. And yes, that can be overwhelming. I get it. But many of the moms are like, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that I'm here spending this time at home with my children, especially the young ones. Those are the fond times. Mom, find that time. Find that time to just hang out with your kids. Just to talk to them. Do some coloring books with them. Something. Spend time because they'll remember that in years to come. They'll remember that when they get older. Just like I remember the things that my mom did for me. Such a blessing. Like I said, my mom was always in a good mood. She always made life fun. And again, much of my personality and demeanor come from my mother. I credit it to her. Certainly the Lord. Certainly God has filled me with his spirit and given me qualities. I mean, he created me. But my mom instilled such an amazing heart in my life. And so I'm very thankful. Another thing here in the second half of verse 28, her husband also praises her. He praises her. And guys, I know it's Mother's Day and all, but guys, I want to speak to you for a minute. We have a responsibility as husbands, if you're a husband, to speak kindly of our wives in public. You know, it's maybe it's easier to complain. Maybe it's easier to pick out the faults. But I challenge you to speak kindly of your wife, to praise her around your friends, to praise her at the office, to be lifting her up. How important that is. How important that is to just bless your wife in that way. And that's what I love about this. That in here, her husband also praises her. And he says, many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. To this husband, she was everything. I would imagine it would be a lot harder to complain about my wife if I was constantly praising her, constantly lifting up her greatest qualities and letting other people know that. That's what we really need to be doing as husbands, is lifting up our spouses. And we should be doing that whether we're a husband or a wife. Don't tear each other down. Too many marriages are tearing each other down instead of lifting each other up. And let me tell you, a little bit of encouragement, a little bit of thank you so much or I'm proud of you goes a long way, especially in a world that is so used to complaining about everything. So this mom, she had a family influence. Again, this is character that gets noticed. When I see a mom who loves her kids, when I see a mom who loves being around her kids, and it's just a blessing. It's just a blessing. You know, I just can't stand that saying that children should be seen and not heard. I don't know who came up with that, but they must not have had kids. Or they certainly didn't have a love for children. Now, I say let kids be kids. Let them, they're just so creative. They're so fun to watch, interact with each other. And it's just, it's a blessing. Let them be kids. And this mom had an influence on her kids, and her kids had an influence on her. Finally, the last thing, not only did she have a personal influence, not only did she have a family influence, but finally, she had a community influence. Look at verse 30 again. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. Boy, isn't that the truth? We try so hard to maintain this flesh. And it's a losing battle, isn't it? We lose it quick. But the Bible is telling us, don't put your hope in that. Don't put your confidence in it. Don't put your value in that. Yes, there's nothing wrong with taking care of yourself. There's nothing wrong with looking nice. But that's not where our value comes. This value of this woman didn't come on the way she looked or her physical appearance. No, it was more about the strength that she ensued, the honor that she endued to others. And then this right here in the middle of it, you know, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. What was her greatest quality was her fear of God, her love for God, her reverence for God, her submission to God. That is the greatest quality. I don't think there's any more beautiful characteristic than a woman who loves the Lord. A woman who loves God with all of her strength. To me, that's an amazing quality. And that should be the characteristic of all believers, not just women, but all believers, that our fear of God, our love for God, would be the thing that's paramount in our lives. The fear of God, the awe and wonder of God. Do you know God as a loving, caring, compassionate God? Boy, I sure hope so. Because that's the kind of God he is. He's not the God that just wants to discipline you. He's not the God that just wants to correct you, although he will do that. No, he wants to love on you. He wants to bestow blessings into your life. That's the God that we serve, it, fearing him and living in awe of wonder of God, that he can do amazing things and has done amazing things. I challenge you to think about the things that God has given you, the blessings that he's placed in your life, the simplest things. Because that gives you this heart of gratitude. It gives you this heart of appreciation that you have a relationship with God. I mean, again, this community influence. This woman wasn't known for her outward appearance. She was known for her love for the Lord. And I would love to see all of our headstones say, this person loved Jesus Christ. This person lived for the Lord. This person loved God. And I know people that have left this earth. And that's the thing I think about when I think about them. They love the Lord. They love the Lord. They love to talk about their Savior. They love to talk about Jesus Christ. That's what we need in this world. Less talk about ourselves and more talk about our Savior, about Jesus. Because all this stuff on the outside is going away. All this stuff in the world is going away. And we invest so much time and energy in stuff. Let's use our stuff for the glory of God. Let's use the physical, material things that are in our lives to point others to Jesus, to give him the glory and give him the credit for all the blessings that are in your life. Everything that I have, every possession that I own, brings me joy because I know it's not mine. That has been given to me by God. And when you look at your possessions as something that God has given to you, it changes your perspective on them. Because everything in this world is going to go away. Don't put your hope and trust in things. Put your hope and trust in God. See, a mother's influence comes from her relationship to the Lord. That's where her influence comes. Both in Proverbs and in Psalms, it says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's Proverbs 1 and 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning. That's where it starts. That's where it begins, is our fear of the Lord. That's where it has to stop. So wisdom and knowledge comes from first having an awe and wonder of the Lord. Not being afraid of God. Our fear of God is that he's all powerful and can do anything. He could squash us in an instant. But he loves us more than he'd ever want to harm us. He loves you more than anything. You are precious in his sight. And he looks down at us moms, and he looks down at us pastors, and he looks down at us husbands, and he looks down at us Christians. And he says, I love you so much that I sent my son for you. I love you so much, and I care for you so much that I want you to be with me for all eternity. So I sent my son to fulfill the righteous requirement that you could never fulfill. And if you surrender your life to him, then I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to enable you to be an influence personally. I'm going to enable you to be an influence in your family. To be that person in your family that reminds people to pray. To be that person in your family that reminds people to trust in the Lord. To be that person in your family that says, yes, these are uncertain times. These are new and unprecedented times. But we're going to trust in the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Are you that kind of influencer in your family? As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And serving the Lord means living your life in such a way that it's under the context of God's provision, God's direction, and God's protection. Living your life for the Lord. That's what it's all about. And finally, this community influence, that we're making a difference in the community, to our friends, to strangers, to coworkers, to people that we see in coffee shops and restaurants and in grocery stores. Making an influence. Our fear for God. Here lately, I've been so impressed in my heart, I believe it's from the Lord, that when I see people, maybe it's a delivery person, or maybe it's someone who comes to do some service here at the church, I want to make sure I'm telling them when they, God bless you. Man, may God bless you today. And truly to say it in such a way that they know it's genuine, that it's not just, God bless you. Not because they sneezed, but truly, God bless you today. And I have been amazed at the number of people that look back and say, thank you so much, same to you. I mean, that's what people need to be encouraged with, is God's blessings. So we have an opportunity to influence the community. And moms, you do that. You influence your family. You influence this community by your love for your family. And we honor you today. And we thank you for what you do. We thank you for who you are. And we're praying for you. And we ask you to not grow weary while doing good. To stay the course. To seek God and ask him to give you strength and wisdom and knowledge of him. That's what we all need. That's what moms need. And we know to be a mom means you go a long time before you hear a thank you. And that's why we have Mother's Day, to tell you thank you. Your life is of great value. Your character is of great value. And your character needs to be something that gets noticed. Let your character in God get noticed by someone else. Let other people see that in you. You know, it's been said, the easiest part of being a mother is giving birth. The hardest part is showing up for it each day. When I read that this week, it really opened my eyes to what moms really do go through. I mean, labor, I just look at labor and go, wow. That takes a strong woman to go through that. And this saying, the easiest part of being a mother is giving birth. The hardest part is showing up every day. It's hard to take time off when you're a mom. But show up. I know it's tiring. I know it can wear you down. But show up. Your kids are dependent on you. Your family's dependent on you. We all are depending on you to just show up and be the best mom that you can be. Not the perfect mom, but here's a guideline and instructions on how to strive for in being a godly mother. With God's help, you can get there. And I want to share this one last verse out of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. For you, Mom, that verse is for you. Show up. Be steadfast. Be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. In the work of the Lord. What you're doing as a mother, by instilling godly principles into your kids, you're doing for the Lord. You're representing God. Yes, you may not do it perfectly every time, but keep on doing your best. God will get you through. God will bless you. Listen, we all need godly character. And let's pray for each other that our character would be evident to all, but would get noticed. I hope this time in God's word has blessed you. And I pray that there's things that God has spoken into your heart. And if you just feel any area of your heart where you need to surrender, you need to give it over to the Lord, then now is that time. Give it over to God. As I close in this prayer, It's this time to say, God, thank you for speaking your word into my life. I want to make an influence personally. I want to make an influence in my family. I want to make an influence in my community. Let's see what God will do with us, especially in these days that we live. So will you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you again for mothers, Lord, and just their heart, their unconditional love that they show to their families and they show to their extended families. We pray blessings upon them, Lord. We pray that you would mold them and shape them and create their character in such a way that people would see them and see you, that they would see godly characteristics in their lives. Lord, strengthen the moms that are weak right now. Lift up the moms that are discouraged right now. Bless the moms, Lord. However you see fit, give them your Holy Spirit, anoint them, help them to continue to endure and to just be that example to their families. Because I believe that it is such an example of your heart when we see the heart of a mother. So bless them, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.